Step out of the shadows and into your sunshine. For generations, we have been limited by what society, colleagues, family members, spouses, and friends think that we should be or become. Slowly, we are molded into their best version of us. One day, we look in the mirror and wonder how we became so far removed from our inner light. These are the stories of powerful women and men who broke their chains and embraced their true purpose. They authentically share their most vulnerable moments and how they found the strength to step into their sunshine. Join us as we share our journeys toward breaking the chain of societal expectations for women and men around the globe.
Come and join La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience in Mazet-Saint-Bois, France, taking place May the 13th through the 16th of May 2025. This event includes immersive holistic workshops ran by experts in their field. Are you tired of feeling fatigue, lacking energy, or desire to go after your dreams? This event is for you. Regain your spiritual, emotional, physical, mental power by being there. And every moment of the event is an opportunity, is an invitation to thrive and regain your power and your health. Visit www.rachelcoudronevents.com for more information.
Everyone, welcome back to season four of Step Into Your Sunshine, hosted by yours truly, Rachel Coudron, the mind behind La Forêt de Lumière Holistic Experience that will be taking place May the 13th through the 16th of 2025 in Mazet-Saint-Bois. This season is very unique. I have decided to gather all the practitioners that are going to be at the event and interview them individually so you can learn more about them, about their services, and why you absolutely need to be at the event. Today, I have a wonderful lady with me, and I would love for her to introduce herself.
Thanks, Rachel. My name's Amy Charnay, and I'm originally from the United States, and now I live in France at the base of the foothills of the French Alps. And I'm a holistic practitioner in France. I'm registered as a naturopath. In the US, my primary modalities have been nutrition and herbal medicine. I've also studied aromatherapy and yoga and mindfulness and forest therapy and nature connection and lots of other things. It's a field where one never gets bored. It's endless learning potential. So,
Wow.
yeah.
Absolutely. You're like a triple threat. You have all these different resources at your fingertips, and it's like whatever you need, I can fix it. Whatever you need, I can help you down the right path. So I would love for you to tell us what brought you there. Like what path did you go down your business journey? What things happened maybe in your childhood or adolescence or early adulthood that really made you want to go after a more holistic approach?
Yeah, it's such a great question, and my answer is a pretty it's a rather common one in the sense that it, you know, my desire to go down this path was born out of my own personal struggles. I had a lot of trauma, like of various kinds, and some of it physical. And I had kind of a perfect storm at one point where I had been in an accident, I had had multiple surgeries. I was exposed to tick-borne illnesses, and so I had Lyme disease and some other tick-borne illness. And I was working as a chemist or in a chemistry lab, and developed chemical sensitivity and chronic fatigue. So all these syndromes where Western medicine doesn't have that much to offer. And so through this, illness, surgery, burnout, I had studied environmental science and ecology and botany, and I started to think like, well, what if my love for plants and nature could, what could I look at this through a lens of my own healing? And I always say plants saved my life. I love plants. And so, yeah, just beginning to partner with them in a different way was my own healing journey. And then from there, studied every modality and tried it first before I would study it, and then kind of wove them together.
Wow. It seems like that is a common thread among people or practitioners that go down a holistic path, is that they struggled first and they didn't find any answers. Because I know that is true for me. I went through so many different varieties of struggles, and I tried so hard to go down the traditional path of going to see the doctors, taking the medicine that they prescribed, and doing everything that they said, because I was convinced at first that they were right and that just following the rules or the recommendations would heal me, but that did not occur. And do you mind sharing some of the things that you took or made for yourself that helped you get over some of these diseases or some of these experiences?
Yeah, sure. I think for me, there was a real constellation of things that helped, which is why in my personal practice for both myself and my clients, I really weave together these various aspects. So for me, I tend to work with people with sensitive nervous systems because I've always been very sensitive myself. And so, there's a couple of things that have been really instrumental to me, and they're themes that I do see with my clients. So I think these are probably the most valuable to share is one, if you have a sensitive nervous system, then really applying things that help with stability and regulation within your system. So for example, one would be stabilizing your blood sugar by making sure you're eating regular meals. And for some people, most people, that's 3 meals a day. For some people, it's more than that. For some people, it's less than that. But that's one thing that really paying attention to your body, really being curious about your own experience so that you can help to stabilize your blood sugar, for example, with proper, eating regularly, making sure you're hydrated, really basic things. And then from there, herbs have helped me a ton. And there's a lot of herbs have affinities for different systems in the body. So for example, there are nervines, which have an affinity to the nervous system. So chamomile is a really well-known, chamomile, lavender, those are really, really well-known nervines. And I love working with local plants that are native or naturalized to the area where I live. So I encourage people to do that. And then really from there, it's about matchmaking. So like, if you run cold, we want to give you warm plants, like we might give you ginger if you're feeling nauseous. Whereas if you run hot, we might lean towards peppermint if you're feeling nauseous. So it's really kind of like, I always talk about like introducing people to plants, like they're making new friends, because it really is about matching the energy. And so looking at plants in various categories and then matching it from there. So nervous system is an area that I've worked with a lot personally and professionally with nervines, and then just somatic practices and mindfulness practices.
Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. I mean, I know for me, that is a personal, huge interest of mine. And the reason I started my medicinal garden this year, because I wanted to dive in. And then when I went to the US and I came back, my yard was totally overgrown with indigenous plants. And so I was like, I had my picture this app going around trying to figure out in my garden what everything was. And then I just started to collect them. And you can't even see in this room, but I actually have a hanger and it has chamomile in it and it has chickweed and it has plantain leaves and it has a calendula, or in the US they call it calendula. And I have just totally nosedive, like rabbit hole into all of that. So I like want to be inside your brain, because obviously you know so much more than I do. And I'm sure the listeners are very intrigued, because I love the part when you talked about if you were hot or if you were cold, if you took ginger or if you took peppermint with nausea. I found that very, very fascinating. And I also like the idea that everything must be personalized to the individual then, because you must ask a lot of questions. Is that true?
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where, I really see myself as a guide and doing just what you said, like asking questions to help people think through what is true for them, so that they can say, yeah, you're right. When I drink at least this much water or herbal tea every day, I do have a lot more energy because I'm hydrated. Like people have, we are very individual and we have different needs. So yeah, I ask a lot of questions and really try to understand and then guide my clients in and reflecting, because I think it's so human to forget, you know, like to just forget where we were and where we've come. And so I do a lot of asking my clients and then reminding them, like, hey, remember when, you know, 3 months ago you were feeling this way every day, and now you don't have that anymore. You know, you have way more energy. Or, and then connecting it to their food, the herbs they're taking, the practices they're doing, the habits they're creating in their life. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, I'm so excited about all this because I believe that to be really true. And going through those practices and creating like a habit in my life is really what changed my trajectory, my health trajectory, and all of those things. Because as mentioned in the previous podcast with Haley, she talks about like talking to your body, knowing your body, listening to what it's trying to tell you. And then with you, it's like coupled into, okay, now that you've listened, now how do we go forward? How do we move forward? What kind of support do you need to get to that next step that you want to achieve, or go to that next place, or stop having these feelings? Because maybe some people want more energy so that they can achieve their next goal. But maybe somebody just wants to be able to get out of bed without pain, or want to sleep the whole night, or they don't want to, every time they go down the steps of their house, they don't want to feel pain in their legs or their feet. And so it could be something huge, a grandioso goal, or it could just be something very small and something that other people take for granted.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And it's so, I think it's such an important aspect of meeting ourselves where we are and meeting our, you know, our clients where they are, and not trying to go to some place that our bodies are not capable of or ready for. And yeah, I had a really wonderful meditation teacher well over a decade ago. She has passed. Her name's Darlene Cohen. She's written several books, but one of her biggest lessons, she lived with a lot of, she had rheumatoid arthritis and a lot of physical ailments. And one of her biggest practices from the Buddhist perspective was both acceptance. So accepting where you are right at this moment, meaning like maybe today I can't get out of bed. And then also doing everything in your power to change that and to move in the direction, like you said, your goals or where you want to go. And I think that's such a beautiful teaching of that we can practice acceptance and also be working towards change at the same time, that they're not mutually exclusive. So, yeah.
I think that's really an important lesson also, because when we look at things outside of health, like, for example, creating this event or moving up in our business, or even like going into a marriage or coming out of a marriage, or you're looking at addictions and stuff like this, like, if whether you're the person that has the addiction or you're in the relationship with somebody who has an addiction, it's like you take that practice of accepting where you're at. Like, this isn't where I want to be, but this is where I'm at. And because I know throughout various things in my life, if I can't change or make any progress if I haven't accepted where I'm actually at. And I think that's a really important lesson. And I really appreciate you sharing that with all of us.
Yeah, thank you. I think of it as like, how can you make a map if you don't know where you're standing, right? Like, if you don't know where you're standing, where do you go? So it's a good reminder.
Oh, that's a beautiful visualization. I like that. So I want to ask you, Amy, what attendees can expect from attending a session with you? Maybe they feel a certain way beforehand and you can go into depth. What are they going to be doing during, and how may they feel afterwards?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so I think, you know, I was talking a little bit in the beginning about the nervous system. And so I think about that a lot when I offer any kind of activity or experience. And the way our nervous system works, it's really, our nervous system is how we experience the world. So it's our senses. And so what I offer my invitations in my workshops and my individual work is very much a sensory experience. So for example, you know, people will show up how they show up. Maybe they're feeling tired, maybe they're feeling anxious. And the invitation will be very much to have an opportunity to slow down and to use their senses to explore the environment that we're in. So we'll be working with some medicinal plants, some local medicinal plants, And so it's really an opportunity to slow down, to connect with themselves, to connect with the nature around us, and then also to connect with some of the local plants. And we'll even taste some so that we'll use all of our senses. We'll smell them, we'll taste them. So I always like to say my work is really about connecting with your inner and outer nature. And that's really so people's individual experience will vary a lot, right? Depending, where they're at and how they're showing up that day. So it's always exciting to see people to connect deeply with themselves and the natural world and then go from there.
Wow, so much so. I noticed throughout this conversation, you've mentioned the nervous system and like sensitivity to the nervous system, and why I think I may know what that means. Part of me is kind of not sure, and I'm sure that many listeners feel the same. So can you break that down for us? What does it mean to have a sensitive nervous system?
That's such an important question. I'm really glad you asked because it's true. We don't want to make any assumptions. So, our nervous system is a network of nerves from our brain and our spinal cord, and then our peripheral nervous system out, which allows me to like pick up my teacup or pick up my pen. And when I speak about the nervous system, I'm generally talking about the autonomic nervous system, which is not surprising that it's the automatic part of our nervous system. So we don't have to remember to breathe. We don't have to remember to do to tell our heart to beat. So it's the system that we don't have control over, but we do have a lot of input. So we can really shift it and change it. So for example, I can consciously breathe more deeply, and that helps me relax into my parasympathetic branch of our nervous system, which is the relaxation branch, versus the sympathetic branch, which is the very fight, flight, energizing branch. And I like to remind people that parasympathetic isn't good and sympathetic isn't bad because it's more activating and energizing. Like some, we need that to get up in the morning. We need that to get things done, to exercise. But that we actually have quite a bit of influence over these two branches. So if you're sitting at your desk and you're feeling really sympathetically activated in terms of your heart racing and anxious, that there are actually tools, whether they're herbs or breath work or somatic practices, that can help us move into a more parasympathetic or relaxation state, which is really important if we're eating or trying to go to sleep, that we don't want to be sympathetically activated. So I hope that answers your question. Does that make sense?
It does. It's a lot to wrap my brain around, but I do think I understand it. And I mean, I know right now, just for all of you guys that are listening, I'm sure you guys are going through a variety of different things. And for me right now, I'm going through a lot of grief, because my mom recently passed away. And I have found that when I go to bed at night, it's like really hard for me to sort of like come down. And last night was the first night in a month that I actually fell asleep without like telling myself I needed to fall asleep. So every day before that, it felt like I never got tired. It was just like my mind just continued and continued and went and went and went. And then I'm looking at my clock and it's like 1:30, 2 in the morning, and I'm like, I should go to sleep. I should go to sleep. And I, turn off everything. I like put down my book, turn off the light, and like eventually I would fall to sleep. And so I feel like my body right now, if I'm understanding you correctly, is it in a parasympathetic mode, like higher stress, or is it the sympathetic mode?
Sympathetic is more,
Oh, okay.
and we can have both activated at the same time. A lot of people feel what's called tired and wired, where they're tired, but their brain won't stop, things won't calm down. And I think the important thing to keep in mind is that, again, we have influence over this system. It's basically our sensory system, right? It's how we perceive the world, and that we can influence it. And unfortunately, we aren't taught these things, like, for example, singing and deep breathing both can move you into parasympathetic or the relaxation branch of your nervous system. Social engagement, so, calling a close friend, just being at ease with other people helps us get into our parasympathetic or relaxation state. But yeah, I mean, I also just want to name that, I'm so sorry for your loss, and that grief is an incredibly complex experience. It's a really, it just varies a lot from person to person.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your words and your kindness. And I find it very interesting too. I mean, I'm very in tune with my body, and I have been since going through my healing process. And I still like check in with myself when I'm journaling. I do a lot of journaling and say, like, what is my body actually feeling rather than what people think I should be feeling, or la-di-lada. You know how that goes, and people also know how that goes. It's like at the end of the day, you've had to do all these things for your spouse or for your children or for your animals and or for your friends. And then at the end of the day, it's like, wait, what do I want? And so hearing you kind of explain things in more scientific terms of like what I'm experiencing in real life, right? The ability of not being able to go to sleep, or stay asleep, then I'm like, oh, hey, there's information out there that could help me as I go through this process to get more sleep or get better sleep or go to sleep. And so I find that really fascinating. And I'm sure that it doesn't just exist for sleep. There's so many other modalities, symptoms or diseases that you focus on.
Yeah, and I think what you just said is so key, or several things you just said are really important, but one really stands out to me that like noticing how you feel instead of how people think you should feel. So I think grief is such a perfect example of this. A lot of people have grief in their minds as synonymous with sad. And it's like, you know, sometimes we feel really angry or, you know, abandoned, or all these different feelings can come up. And so what I try to remind myself and my clients is to really pay attention to how you feel, because what's regulating for your nervous system when you're feeling really sad and shut down might actually be like to do a brisk walk, or if you're angry, to like punch a pillow, or, you know, like I live by a lake. Sometimes I'll go under the water and scream because it's not appropriate to scream outside or just shout, you know, and to just normalize that like we're humans, but we have a lot of feelings, and those of us with sensitive nervous systems tend to have access to those feelings and maybe more quickly or more deeply, or so that really knowing how you feel and not how society or the world is telling you you should feel when you're going through a certain situation is can be so healing to help people complete the stress cycle. Because from a physiological, this is physiology, like we have stress cycles, and those hormones need to go somewhere when we get activated. So yeah, I just want to really like thank you for saying that, because it's really true.
I find that really fascinating. And for me, it also ties into the idea of when you're someone like you, or you work with you, then you also get told scientifically what is happening in your body, what's going on in your nervous system, how are chemicals reacting, how does this plant help this or this herb. And for me, that also helps me like solidify that I've made the right decision with my actions. So, for example, while I'm listening to myself, not what the world is telling me, it's also about the actions that I'm taking to handle this emotion. Because everybody and their dog is going to have an opinion about, oh, you should do this, you should do that, you should do this, you shouldn't do this, don't believe that. Go here, don't go there, see this person, don't talk to them, to help you heal or get better or whichever thing. And I think it's really important that if I was working with you telling me like the science behind it, like what's really going on in my body. So I'm like, okay, when I met with somebody that like, now that's never gonna work, that's full of, I don't know, beans and nonsense, then it's like, no, actually, this is what's happening in my body. And my body is being parasympathetic right now. This herb helps with this specifically. And then afterwards, I feel like this. And this has happened multiple times. So for me, it's actually like a test. Like this has worked for me. And now, when you're trying to tell me it's nonsense, it's like, no, actually, I have personal experience. And I think that's really important for people, is to actually experience coming down by using an herb, or having a more relaxed nervous system by using the different modalities that you use, and they can actually feel it so that they can defend themselves, and they can, or they don't have to defend themselves. They can just feel assured that they're making the right decisions for their bodies.
Yeah, I think you're so that's so key, is to I it's one of I think it's my number one most important thing for both myself and people I work with, is honoring people's lived experience, because that is the truth. That is their truth. And so some clients are, you know, I love to nerd out on the science at times, but then I've also some, you know, I have a client right now who she's like, I don't want to hear any of that science, but could you give me like a ritual I can do when I take my herbs? And I'm like, absolutely. So again, like meeting people where they're at and being like, what is, you know, we all have these different brains and some people love, you know, they want to know the science. They want to know that what's going on in their bodies. And some people want to really have that direct experience with the plant and they don't need to know. They don't, it's not going to serve them. And that all of those ways are valid and important. But ultimately it's your lived experience, just like you're describing. I think that matters the most because you're the one. It's so empowering, right? To have that experience and be like, this really worked for me. And this didn't work for me. So now you know what to do when you're in that situation. Again, it's like creating a map, being like, okay, when I feel like this, I know this plant, these foods, these things are my allies, my good friends on this journey. And when I feel, like you said, you know, a different way, you have different allies. It's like having a bunch of new friends with you.
Oh, that's beautiful. I love how you referred to plants as friends. I just feel total in alignment there. And it's really important for those that are listening to understand that each person's journey is personal and individual. And that when you're working with Amy, she takes all of that into consideration, and the sessions that you'll be experiencing at the event, she will also take you on a journey that's personalized to you. And so, Amy, I have a question for you in regarding to your past clients, because I would love for you to kind of share with me and the listeners is if you had one or two examples that really stuck out to you in your past experience, that maybe what they came in with, how did you help them, and what was the end result?
Yeah, honestly, the vast majority of folks that I work with these days, you know, I said earlier, those with a sensitive nervous system, but I know that's pretty vague. So what it actually looks like in a embodied human being is I work with a lot of women. I work with people of all genders, but I tend to work with a lot of women who are, you know, in their, most of my clients are in their 40s, 50s, 60s. I have some clients in their 70s. Often they come to me with feelings of burnout, anxiety, depression. You know, mental health is a strong specialty of mine. And it's exactly what we've been talking about, is really like, okay, let's find you the diet that works best for you at this stage in your life, and you're based on your body and your needs. Let's match some herbal, let's match some botanicals to you and your needs, and then some practices to help you navigate those moments. And I think, you know, in the culture that we live in, there's such a focus on everyone calming, you know, meditation, relaxation. And it's like, those are definitely tools. You know, I'm a meditator and I've spent a lot of time at meditation retreats and meditation centers. And when you're anxious, that's energy that's trying to mobilize. So trying to sit and be perfectly still when you're anxious is often not the best strategy. So for example, I'll work with clients like that to be like, when you're feeling anxious, like some movements, you know, standing up and doing like a little dance, taking a quick walk so that they can learn to navigate their nervous systems. Because, you know, I think it's easy to like pathologize anxiety, but you know, we live in these are challenging times. I think it's perfectly normal to feel anxious at times, but how do we work with it? So we're not necessarily, sometimes it goes away, but often it doesn't. And so it's like, how do we support you to navigate through these experiences more quickly and to really diffuse some of that energy? And like I said, complete the stress cycle. So usually the language that clients tell me is they usually feel more empowered to take care of themselves. And that is my goal. I don't want people to need me to tell them which plants to take. It's really empowering when you start to learn about medicinal plants, you learn which foods fuel your body the best and things like that. And then start to say, oh, you know what? I feel like, you know, my skin is kind of dry. I guess I should be eating more healthy fats in my diet. And you start to make these connections just automatically. Because like we were saying earlier, we're really just a series of habits. Like us humans, we're just a series of habits. So incorporating healthy habits and then learning how to navigate one's nervous system so they know what's going on, like which state am I in this moment? And then what would most serve me to move forward?
Wow. But I like learning about that because it helps invite people in, because some of the things that you've talked about, depression or anxiety, stress, a lot of times gets buried under the rug, gets ignored. I think especially as women, just as a woman myself, and if you have children or if you have a career, it's like I don't have time to deal with all these things. I need to be there for my child, or if I have multiple children, then the day is going all the time. It's like going so chaotically and everybody needs you all the time. And if you have a spouse, then your spouse like wants to spend time with you. And then it's like, oh, and then now there's me time. And there has been in our society, I think, a more of a push for self-love and self-care time. But I find that the women that I interact with every day, there's still very little time for them, or they don't prioritize themselves, or I'll get to myself when I get to me, kind of thing. And sort of like last on a totem pole. And it's taken me a long time to put myself up a few notches, because I've realized at the beginning of my journey, I was teaching, my body was telling me I needed to leave the environment. My head was saying, absolutely not a good idea. There's no way financially I can live this way. And so at first I pushed my health back because I was like, this isn't going to work. And then things got worse, and then I didn't have a choice anymore. And so I just want to highlight to those that if you're struggling right now, if you can relate to many of the things that I've said or Amy has said, then you want to be at the event because Amy's going to be able to assist you through these situations, through these diseases, through aiding you and being able to empower yourself to take back your life. And that's one of the key themes of this event is empowerment, because none of us want to be with you or feel like we need to be with you every step of the way. We want to be able to empower you with education and resources and experiences so that you can go and take back the power in your life. Go back, it's good, take back your health, take back being autonomous, like going and doing the things that you want to do and not being limited by your diseases or by your stress or by what your body is experiencing.
Yeah, I hope I'm excited to meet everyone.
Me too. Me too. So I wanted to ask you, Amy, one last question, and that was, what was your reason for joining this event? Why
Yeah.
did you feel connected with it?
Yeah, there's so many reasons. I mean, my first conversation with you, I really just found your energy and you're very spunky, and I found it very inspiring. And then another aspect was that I really felt that you were doing your due diligence, that you were really asking good questions and making sure that you're bringing on practitioners that you feel in alignment with and that are true professionals in our field. So that felt really important to me. And then just in a more, general sense, I think one of the things I hear from so many of my clients, and I struggled with myself when I was really sick. I mean, I was bedridden for years. I was very, very sick. Is this feeling of isolation, like this hyper individualistic societies that we live in, where we have to do it all ourselves and we're trying to be everything. And so it's so human and so deeply ingrained in our species to gather and connect and feel a sense of belonging. And so to me, gathering and especially around a shared theme and shared interest is such a beautiful, that just in and of itself is a really beautiful act of self-care. So yeah, really a sense of belonging. And yeah, the care that you put into curating and organizing this, what I keep thinking, like, it's such a classy event. And then the environment itself, being surrounded, we'll have the mountains around us and then the forests and the meadows. And all that spaciousness, and then the fire pit, the areas for gathering. For me as an herbalist, it's like to have multiple environments, like, the flowers tend to be in the meadows, and then we have the conifer trees in the forest for their beautiful scent. And Yeah, so many reasons, but those are just a few.
Thank you so much, Amy. That really means a lot to me. And I am so excited to have you at the event. And just like you asking the questions, you wanted to know what type of questions I was asking when I was looking for practitioners. It was also important to me the way that people responded, the way that you responded and other practitioners, because I wanted to make sure that everybody was in alignment, everybody was going towards the same goal, and that it was truly in your heart the reason that you became a practitioner. Like you had a lot of heart and experience with it. Because for me, for this event, the reason I'm deciding to take this step and organize this type of event was because of my lived experiences. I don't ever want anyone to suffer and struggle the way that I did. And I didn't have any help. I didn't have any knowledge about holistic therapies. I knew nothing. And I was also very young. So I was in my mid-20s. So everybody looks at you like you're crazy. And I like, well, just take a pill and you'll be fine. But for me, I knew that I didn't want to live a life on pills. If it could be avoided. And for me, with my situation and the diseases and experiences that I had, it was something that could be avoided through lifestyle changes. And I know that if there's so many things, not all things, but there's so many things that can drastically change in your life by changing your lifestyle choices and just knowing more about herbal medicine. And rather than, going towards the pill, maybe instead of, for me with hypothyroidism, instead of going to levothyroxine, I can go to kelp, and that can help me regulate my thyroid. And so I am so excited for people to experience this with you and other practitioners. And I'm ready to get started and ready to get going.
I'm helping.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I'm just in accordance with so many things that you're sharing, and really excited to meet you in person too, actually. We've only had video calls, so it'll be really nice to meet you and the other practitioners and then all the participants and the venue. I'm just excited about all of it. Yeah.
Me too. For all the listeners, if you have taken the time to listen to this episode, then I want to give back to you. So for the event, if you go over to www.rachel, RACHEL, Coudron, Coudron, events.com, and check out the website, get your ticket for the event. And then at the end, where it has a discount code, if you put in podcast, then I will know that you heard it here and you'll get 10% off your purchase ticket. So, podcast in the discount code. You want to go over there right now, grab your ticket. Thank you so much, Amy, for your time and telling us about what you'll be offering. And I also look forward to meeting you in person.
Thanks, Rachel.